many, many years ago. Many. When I lived in another house, I came to do Wednesday night Bible study, and I had bronchitis, but I wanted to do it. I don't know why. All I wanted to do was do a good job to honor the Lord and go home. This isn't as bad, but what I want to do tonight is do a good job, honor the Lord, and go home. Now, the reason I have the hat on is because that time I spoke when I had the bronchitis, I forgot all about my hat. I just wore the hat the whole time, and let me tell you, I'm not trying to be. I got in the back of the neck from a number of people for speaking with a hat on. And it wasn't pleasant for a young man with a big ego. Okay, now the reason I'm wearing this hat is because I had surgery on my head yesterday for skin cancer. It wasn't cancerous, but they had to go down a little deeper. And every time they go a little deeper, their face gets more sober and more. So this was a sober, sober face. It's okay. But meanwhile, I'll take this off once. Because when I take it off and I talk to people, they can't keep their eyes off it. They stand there and they try to look at me real hard and their eyes go up. And it's kind of funny, but I don't want to be funny tonight. So I'll give you one look. This is what it looks like. All right. People said I've been an egghead. Well, pretty much so. It hurts, but not a lot. And the worst is over. But I feel like you'll be looking at me and looking at that and trying not to smile. And so if you don't mind, I want to wear the hat. And please, don't rake me over the coals. Now, my ego is a little bit more tarnished. And maybe I could handle it, but I might not. Who knows how an old man's going to react. All right. Before I go into this, my wife got a call a couple hours ago from Leanne Ripatti. Leanne said, "I'm very sick. Would you take me to the hospital?" So Donna took her to St. Joe's. And Leanne has pneumonia. And they're going to have to keep overnight, or maybe more than one day. And Donna is staying there until it's all finalized. And then Donna will either come here or go home. So, remember Leanne. It seems to be something that as we get older, some people are more susceptible to pneumonia. Okay. Now, I've been assigned Ephesians. Go to Ephesians. Chapter 3, I've been assigned verses 14 to 21. So, let's go into this. Now, what's interesting about this is that in verse 1, follow me, verse 1, Paul said, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the sake of Gentiles." And then verses 2 to 13 are what is called a digression. Paul starts to pray for this reason. It's a common thing, and he starts to pray in chapter 3:1, but then he talks about some more. And then in 3:14 he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." So the Apostle Paul gets to prayer. And I think it's interesting to see what he's doing and keep all of these chapters and thoughts connected. Don't disconnect any one. Because in chapter 4, he's going to say 4:1. I'm not assigned that, but he's going to say, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a worthy manner of the calling for which you have been called." he's going to start talking about how we can apply the incredible, awesome truths of chapter 1, 2, and 3. And I think it's very, very important that we do that, because chapter 4 to 6 is not just a new, okay, now I've talked theology, now I'm going to talk practical. None of that. He's been talking about the awesome work of God for us. And he's going to say in chapters 4 to 6, but this has to be lived. It has to be lived. You have to take these things and make them work in your life, and they will bless you richly. So, the Apostle Paul, in 14, after he took the digression in chapter 3, 2, now talks about bowing his knee to pray for these people. And some things I want to do very quickly. I want to just kind of tie it in, because that's on my mind. All right. So we have first three chapters, some really interesting doctrinal, some very interesting insights into the work of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these insights are to become part of us, not just mentally, but part of us, until we begin to live them in a natural way. Now, I'm not talking about, when I talk about in a natural way, I'm not talking about coming holier than thou that we walk through life. We're not talking that. They become such a part of us that so many things are thought about naturally. That's how you know, by the way, people, when your spiritual life is making progress, because some things become so second nature to your thoughts that you don't even have to struggle with them. You just know you're going to do good. You just know you're going to look to God for prayer. You just know this and that. All right, so these sort of things. So, chapter 4 starts something new. But here it says, chapter 3, 13. For this reason, I bow the knee. And he is going back and thinking. When you take this word phrase, this cause in 3:1, 3:14, you go back and think, what is making him at this time, as he's written, just feel like he wants to get on his knees and thank God and pray? Well, you go right back to chapter 1. You can't separate. And you go back to chapter 1, and basically, in chapter 1, you have God's sovereign grace for us. Chapter 1, you have God the Father planning before the foundation. Chapter 1, you have God the Son dying for our sins and sealing the redemption. And in chapter 1, you have God the Holy Spirit working and living in us. And you will see in this book that the Holy Spirit has talked about dwelling in us, living in us. And the other men who teach will deal with that. Now in chapter 1 you have, I'm just going to give quickly, eternity past. What was going on in eternity past? The Father planned this whole experience of salvation. And he chose the Son to die and the Holy Spirit to come. So, chapter 2 goes back. The converted soul has been reconciled to God by the work of his blood of cross of his Son. And because of that, peace has been established forevermore. Right? Paul wants, in chapter 4, 5, and 6, that to be part of our life, that kind of peace. And that kind of peace is something that comes more than just having God work in our life and calm everything down. Now everything's going to be nice. Now you have peace. See? And then some yahoo comes in and spoils it. Some circumstances come in. So he must be talking about a peace that is different and better. All right? And also the fact that we are justified once and for all. Well, we know what that means doctrinally, but think about it. justified once and for all. And yet, I'm going to go on in this life as a believer many, many years, and I'm going to be aware of sin. And if you're a believer and you're not aware of sin in your life, you're not in a very good spiritual condition. I mean that. Because the work of the Holy Spirit in us will show us areas where we need to get right with God in a practical way. But we are right with God through Jesus Christ's blood for all eternity. All right, I better keep moving on here. So, we need to make sure this, what we call the standing of Christian. This is how I stand, justified, reconciled, born again, saved, assured of salvation, assured of eternity. That's what we call standing. And no matter what happens, our standing will never change. That is sealed in the person of God and his character. It will never, ever change. So standing, now we have to learn to let this standing come into our state. And that would be chapter 4, 5, and 6. Our state is the reality of what I am in this world. A bumbler, see, a bumbler, and somebody who's a little bent out of shape at times, or critical, or this or that. That's my state. That's what I am as a believer. I'm not what I'm going to be. And I'm certainly not what I ought to be. But nevertheless, that's what is important. All right. And so, let's go now. Verse 14, this reason for this cause, I bow knees before the God the Father. Now, it would be interesting to go study the word kneeling, bow our knees, see what the scriptures say. But all I want to do here is just mention the fact that Paul, after he taught this, felt an overwhelming sense that he wanted to fall to his knees and thank God for it. Because as he taught this and as he studied it, the Apostle Paul is overwhelmed when he starts putting it in some kind of order, some kind of a thought pattern. He's just overwhelmed by what God's done. We're saved not because we're worth it or we earned it. We're saved because God was rich in mercy. For by grace are you saved through faith, in verse 2. So, verse 14, he's going to talk about praying. And it, as a result, and one more time, as a result of what he's taught, he's just overcome. You sit and think about it. Wow. See, I remember sometimes in Columbia being up in the mountains and trying to do some gospel work and having it become just pretty difficult. And I remember sometimes just going, sitting up in the mountains, reading, trying to get my wits about me so that I wouldn't become discouraged and perhaps quit. And I can remember just sitting and thinking how I was saved and how people witnessed to me and on, just thinking, having my tinto in, thinking. And just realizing, man, this is really something that I'm even here. Columbia doing this. This is incredible. And it just gave me nerve to got to reach these people if you can. Don't quit. God's got a plan. And it really helped. All right. So, now in verse 15, that he would grant you, this is what he's asking for the people. verse 14, I'm sorry, that was 15. From whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. There are people who feel that what Paul is saying here is everybody, no matter who they are, what tribe, what this, what that, we all derive our name, and God is our Father. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the body of Christ, and he's been talking about that, and he talked in the end of chapter 2, talked about we're all built together, we're no longer strangers, aliens, verse 19. You're fellow citizens with the saints. Now the household of God. And he moves on. 20. Having been built upon the foundation, the apostle, prophet, Jesus Christ himself, being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing to holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together in the dwelling of God in spirit. And now he goes back and he talks about every family in heaven and earth derived its name in Jesus Christ as our Savior, because we're his workmanship, and because we're reconciled, and because we all have access by the same Spirit. Right? That's what the Scriptures say. When you and I are saved, we partake of the Spirit and we have access to the same Spirit. And nobody is inferior in that, whether they have problems or not. And we become a holy habitation and a household of God. Now this whole family doesn't focus so much on groups, this nationality, that nationality, although there is something there. The idea is that all people in Jesus Christ have a filial relationship with Jesus Christ. We all belong to that family. And that is important because it's just not it's our nature, but it has nothing to do with similarity of opinions or interests or tastes. We are together as a family. And therefore, it's really important. You and I cannot choose who our brother and sister will be. We can't do it. Oh, I know we like to, because all of us have likes and dislikes. There's no doubt about it. Half the world hates me, half the world likes me, see? So I hang with the half that likes me. Seems right, doesn't it? But this thing, it's not just our opinion, interest. We cannot choose who will be our brothers and sisters. God saves us by grace, brings us into family relationship, and they are determined by the laws of spiritual living. This relationship, not our preferences. So it's important to see this because, it's important to see this because Paul is saying you all share, and he's said it before many times, you all share in this work of Christ equally. Oh, there's difference in education, there's difference in wealth, there's difference in gifts, right. But that's not what he's interested in. He's interested in seeing that we are family. And everyone, everywhere who knows Jesus Christ is part of that. And this is really important because these family members are tied to us by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you and I cannot choose, technically, who's our brother and sister. They are ours. Four, five, and six. There's a lot in there about unity and forgiving one another that brings these truths back to the surface and reminds us of what God is doing. So, we can't choose who our brother and sister will be. God saves us by grace, brings us into His family, and we cannot decide who we will recognize in fellowship or not. Now, I'm not talking about somebody living in sin, so don't squint. But I can't choose who I'm going to fellowship with. And it's important. And even if somebody falls into sin and then they repent, the Bible tells me that I receive them back according to Scriptures. All right? So, it's important. And the unity of the body cannot be undone by exclusivism or bigotry. And that is really important. And it's interesting. It's still a bit of a burr under my skin sometimes when I think of how some places can just cut people off, cut assemblies off, because there's one or two things that they don't line up with. Last year I was in an assembly where I was speaking, and there were some people there, new people, yeah. Very friendly. Boy, I had a good time before the meeting, talking to them. The Lord's Supper came, they passed the elements, they didn't take of the elements, they all passed it by. Wow, this is a world here because of Jesus Christ. We're a body here. What's going on? So a coffee break came. I didn't know what to do, but before I approached, they approached and told me that, well, we really like the people here, on and on and on, but you don't square up with all of the principles of the body of Christ. And I felt absolutely no sympathy for them at all. I thought, you lunkheads, you're sitting here and you're celebrating all of it. In fact, the man even got up and shared. But when it came, he couldn't. And the kids were. And that just didn't set well. I don't know, maybe I'm so weird, I'm not deep, but it didn't set well at all. So Paul is talking about this body. And the thing is, he's going to mention a lot of, as I said before, things about the body in these next three chapters. Unity, oneness, forgiveness, on and on and on. Okay, let's move. So, we're bound by common ties. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Salvation by faith alone. By grace. God's grace, not our worthiness. And He tells us in 4:2, He talks about prison of the Lord, entreat you walk worthy in all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. So don't chop these up. Don't separate them. This all flows one into another. Okay. So, so at this, when he's praying, he's like saying, we're all gathered around the feet of Jesus right here in awe for what I taught. And we have to let these truths sometimes, when we can take time and we have time to think, just to sink in and create that. I don't have to understand it, but I'm overwhelmed by what He's done. For me, for you, and he's taken a Yahoo like me and just let me, by faith, receive his son. Wow. Everything is done. Okay, we'll move on. So, ouch. All right. I got too many little aches and pains. But those are coming. All right. Now, we go on to, we're still thinking of verse 15, but the point is that we have Christ at home in our hearts. Now, 16. Now, here, that he would. Now, verse 15, everybody worshiping together. Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Now, keep this clear what he's saying. He wants us to be strengthened with power. All right? Through the work of the Holy Spirit. All right? And in where? In the inner man. So, reverse it. The inner man inside. Not just a man who daily needs some strength, or a man who needs to be encouraged on whatever, or the strength to do something. That is something he gives. But I think he's talking about more here. I think he wants to come in on our lives and do some of these things so that we can be strong always, not just for this one time. Our inner life is strong for it and ready for it. So, excuse me. So let's look at this. There's a prayer for spiritual strength. Now, not just for conversions, right? But abundant, full life. Now, see, you and I can have an abundant, full life, but sometimes feel weak. That's not a contradiction. We turn to Him when we're weak. We ask for strength. But as we grow, there's a greater sense of drawing us near to Him so that we become, even when we're not aware of it, stronger and stronger in this daily living and more able to face things, more able to do things. Sometimes it's unconscious. And maybe you've had a time when you've grown, something has come up and you've done something and then you've thought, wow, I wouldn't have done that before. Say, I would have smashed his face. Or something like that. I wouldn't have done that before. You're growing. You're learning. You're not struggling with everything. Should I tell him off? Should I bite my tongue? Should I do this? Should I do that? Some other time you just can go, whoa. And you think, I like that. Because you don't have to always be in the midst of a terrible struggle. So, all right. Anyway, he wants it to be a prayer for spiritual strength. Paul wants us to excel as Christians, promote growth and grace. He wants us to have robust faith, the inner man, robust, sure, solid, able to face it. That's what he wants. And he knows when you get in these last three chapters, people are going to be faced with some critical things as they face these issues. Wow. Say, I don't know how I could do that. I can do it in you. It'll take a little work, but I can do it for you. And not always instantaneous, although sometimes it is. All right. And then the next thing is 16, grant you according to his riches to be strengthened with power. All right. To be strengthened. And this word strengthened means somebody who has a sense of need. You know, you cannot be strengthened in the Christian life, my friend, unless you see some weaknesses and needs. What draws you? What takes you to pray? Because you have needs and you feel you need help and strength. That isn't sort of going through life well. You know, man's got to do what a man's got to do. Say, that's John Wayne from a movie, by the way. And it's more than that. Strengthen us. First of all, there has to be a sense of want of need. Well, often Paul says strength made strong in weakness. Corinthians. Strong, but weak. Strong in the inner man, strong with God, strong with knowledge that he can meet these needs strong, that God is able to strengthen us in that way. So, so we are to be strengthened, and then with power through His Spirit, we are strengthened through the Holy Spirit. See, there are people in this world, and they're strong people, and they're determined. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do it no matter what, and they do marvelous things, heroic things. Wow, that's the flesh, and it can do it. People can strengthen themselves. This is a little different, I think. So, it's to be strengthened to perform duties, to face trials, moral strength. And so, with spiritual power. Now, this spiritual power isn't to perform miracles. So many Christians think that if God gives me powers, I'm going to do extraordinary things. Really? All of these miracles we want, all of these profound things, certainly God can do them. I have no doubt. But this here isn't to just perform miracles, but a spiritual vigor in our soul that makes us rejoice in God, whatever. That makes us strong what we have to face. Makes us confident. Makes us assured that He's always working for us. Okay, so this is important to see as we go through this. So you have strengthened with power. The power comes from the Holy Spirit. And He doesn't say, this power is through us. He said, this power is in us. The power is through us sometimes. Absolutely. But this is different. He's asking the believers to be strong and grow. And to look to Christ and trust Him in confidence. The work will come. The thing we need to do will come. Often what makes us fail in the Christian life is that we just don't see how we can find the help and the inner person that God can give to us. And we look at our human resources, our limited resources. See, Paul is asking for this in our lives. And it's not weird or new, but anyway, the Holy Spirit is God's provision for all believers in the body of Christ, in this family. Whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever their nationality, they are the household of faith. He mentioned that in another place in this book, of the household belonging to them. So, Paul is praying here, all these things I've taught, I want you to take and let the Holy Spirit bring them into you and be overwhelmed by God, what God has done, and that He will continue to do this, and He will never fail, and you need to be assured. And that helps us go on. If we spend too much time looking at ourselves and thinking of some spiritual exercise to grow us, to help us grow, that's a good thing, but sometimes something comes in and blows that thing right out of the water. And then we start inside, what's up? And so, okay. So, this is quite an interesting portion. All right, now, verse 17, so that Christ, this is what He wants, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded. Here's a person firm, rooted, grounded. I have a high school friend, not a believer, but we're still friends, and this guy is a structural architect. I never knew what they were, actually, until he explained it. And he goes around contracting still and makes sure that the building foundation is solid. It's ready to, okay, to build on. That's his job. Dave Grobleski, and he does this. And these guys are first. We have a man in our assembly in Boca de Manga, one of the elders, and when we were there a couple of years ago, I find out that's what he did. That's what he does. And that's his job, to make sure it sounds solid firm. I hope I got the name of the profession right, because Grabber told me, and I just kind of sometimes don't hear completely. But that's what he does. And he was explaining to me last time we had lunch. He explained to me he just got through some contract in Minneapolis. He actually says, I did better under contract than I did working for somebody before. I should have done it early. Anyway, that's what he does. And this is what Paul, Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you be rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all the saints, was the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of God. There are songs, and were songs about the deep, deep love of Jesus, and other songs, and songs about having the love of God written with some kind of a reed over the universe and sky, and you could not write a love of God enough. And this is one of the things that Paul is thinking about. So, and it's important to him. So, excuse me. All right, so that Christ may dwell, verse 17, in your heart through faith, you may be rooted and grounded, never shaken, never moved. But it doesn't mean you always know what to do. It doesn't mean you have it all worked out and all of the answers. But it does mean you're solid and secure and firm. Boy, we need that. All of us do. So, this is interesting. And then, talks about the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. I mean, we try to, just sit down, okay? I'm gonna talk about the length, right, the height. How could I, if we would ache the ocean filled, right, with the sky parchment made, we could not write the love of God, we could not write the depth and understand. In other words, I guess what I'm saying for me today, we just need to continue to be overwhelmed and in awe of the marvelous, marvelous work God has done for us. All right. So, and this, of course, is not according to our limited resources. It's according to God's resources. And God works in us all. The height, the breadth, the length, the depth, and verse 9, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may fill up to all fullness of God. Now, you and I cannot be all filled up to fullness of God in this life. It will be when we get to be with the Lord. But there's no reason we can't start filling it up a wee bit. Knowing Him better, loving Him more. So, as Paul finishes this, you can see how he's focusing them on everything he talked about, the marvelous character, sovereignty of God, overwhelming provision. Then when he goes in the next chapters and talks about the practical things, there are going to be many people who shake their heads and say, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can do that. That's just not what I am. Well, then we look to Him for strength and understanding. All right, so it's not according to our limited fullness. It's His breadth, length, height, and depth. His fullness. All right, so anyway, this is how Paul finishes. Now, verses 20 and 21. Yeah, see this thing up here, this big bump. I'm afraid it's going to, anyway, it grow until I was waiting for it to lift up the hat. But these last verses are a doxology. They're doxology. The Apostle Paul now is done saying everything that filled his heart in the beginning of this letter. Now to Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask and think. Most of the time we take this to be involved in some part of our ministry and work. There's nothing wrong with that, that's true, but there's another aspect, and that other aspect should not be forgotten, and that is that how can I live steady, sure, confident, and all of this that He's done. He's able to do that in our lives. And too often, I've limited Him in my ministry, especially when I was in Columbia and other things, just always feeling inadequate. Always, I don't know the language well, I'm going deaf, I don't know. And creating extra problems for myself. Unfortunately, that is the story of a lot of missionaries and servants. So, let me read 20, 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all you ask or think, according to the power that works in us. See, that Holy Spirit in us, power works in us. To Him be the glory in the church. And in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. And then in verse 104 he's going to start, I therefore. And that therefore, you know, is a direct connection to what he just taught. Father, thank you for reminding us that besides giving us the strength to go through some difficult thing, or giving us the strength for a particular aspect of ministry or service where we feel weak, that this portion of Scripture was pointing us to who you are, what you've done, the incredible resources and provision. And when we start thinking about what Paul wrote and trying to break some of these things down, we understand what he meant, the breadth, the height, the depth, the length. Your love and care for us is something we will never comprehend fully here. But it doesn't mean we always have to be empty. Thank you, Father, for your love for us and your work for us in Jesus' name.
done.